morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Earlier we chanted the Gatha of Repentance, which says, all the evil karma ever created by me of old, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, I repent of it now. So the question is, how do we understand this karma for which we must repent? Somewhere along the way, I once heard somebody describe karma as getting what you deserve. Sort of harsh, I suppose. In Sanskrit, the word karma means action. And if we looked at Buddhist teachings on karma, the focus is on actions and their results, on cause and effect. The classic metaphor used to describe karma is that of throwing a rock into a pool of water. The rock enters the water and creates ripples, which create other ripples, and so on. And as these ripples extend throughout the entire pool, simultaneously there are all these diverse ripples, but at the same time there is just one pool. Throwing the rock was the initial action, and the myriad of ripples, which are the results, soon become actions producing results in their own right. An interrelated chain of causes and effects. Another metaphor that's used to describe karma and the simultaneity of cause and effect and oneness is what's referred to as Indra's net. And if you think of a fishing net, right? In order for it to become a net, it's tied together over and over again and making all these little squares, and ultimately you have a net. But if I take one part of the net, go like that, the entire net is affected. So that effect created by my doing this is what we call karma. So there's constant change, constant interaction, constant cause and effect. And if you sit with this, you can almost feel the energy of it. This constant vibration, this constant cause and effect, back and forth. Now, another way to look at this, that's sort of the philosophical way to look at it, is in practical terms. In the human realm, it works sort of similarly. If I speak kindly and respect to someone, this behavior creates a resonance, or we could say ripples, which will likely have a positive effect on the relationship between myself and the person that I speak to. If, on the other hand, I speak harshly, or out of anger, or yell at a person, this behavior will most likely affect the relationship that I have with that person in a negative way. Each action produces a particular result or karma. If we look more closely, we see the results produced by these actions become actions in their own right, which in turn produce results, and so on. For example, in the first case, those who were exposed to a positive, respectful interaction will carry this positive resonance from this experience in their bodies, as well as in their minds. If you remember not too long ago, I talked about smiling and about the person in Starbucks who literally made my day, this beautiful young African woman with this incredible smile, with a slight gap in her teeth. She was so happy that the vibration, that the energy created by this interaction, this karma that she created, just standing there behind the counter, lasted a whole day. In another example, those who are affected negatively will be more likely to react negatively to others. So this positive-negative interaction produces different kinds of karma. You know, you're familiar with the person who goes to work and their boss treats them like crap, and they come out home and take it out on their kids. Well, that's karma. That's karma unfolding in a very practical day-to-day way. And in fact, there is research that supports the truth of this. So each new action will affect the next situation in some way. Now, generally speaking, concepts such as negative action, positive action, good karma, evil karma, are subjective. When we speak of karma in the context of Zen practice, negative actions are those that cause suffering. And positive actions are those that lead to the end of suffering. In any discussion of karma, it's also important to point out that karma is not fatalistic or deterministic. We can change our karma at any time. If we are dissatisfied with our circumstances, we are free to take steps to change those circumstances. Or if that's not possible, or if that's not reasonable, we can take steps to adapt to our circumstances. Each moment presents a new opportunity to change our karma and create positive effects, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. Karma is not just about how cause and effect affects us, but also about how our actions affect the world around us. It's a two-way street. If we go back to the Gatha of Repentance, the last line states, "I repent of it now." As Zen students, what does repentance really mean? Repentance is defined by Webster as experiencing remorse for our bad actions. If we go a little further, Webster says that repentance is making a change for the better because of the remorse that we feel. This latter part is the heart of working with karma, because as the existentialists say, the only truth is in action. So we could ask, what action should we take? I think, though, a more helpful question might be, from what state of mind should we move in the world to cause the least suffering and to heal the suffering that exists? Our practice teaches us that if we live in the world with a mind that is still, a mind that is calm, one not tossed about by emotion and attachment to fixed ideas, we are much less likely to act in ways that will create suffering. In fact, we will actually act to eliminate suffering, because with a still mind, we will experience a deep connection to all things. It's the same as feeling at one with the pond, being the pond itself. So doing Zazen and healing our psychological burdens, it's working both sides of the fence, the spiritual and the psychological. Doing Zazen and healing our psychological burdens is the work of repentance, because it frees us to move and live in the world from a place of love, happiness, and connection, free from rigid thought patterns and feelings that have controlled our lives. The very act of doing Zazen is an act of repentance. Repentance is an activity which must continue over and over and over throughout our lives. There is no end to repentance, as there is no end to Zazen. The English poet Francis Thompson wrote, "One cannot pick a flower without rattling a star." That's how exquisitely interconnected everything is. We cannot pick a flower without rattling a star. The activity of just being continues moment to moment, rattling stars and sending ripples throughout the universe. So there is no end to cause and effect, and there is no end to repentance. Thank you.